our kind host, Ron, who has been waiting a long time to have the opportunity to address us. We have 50 minutes devoted to a discussion of matters related to WPFW. We had 10 minutes earlier with Zarina Shakir, and Ron is going to talk to us for what I hope will be about 10 or 15 minutes. And we'll have about a half an hour for questions.
Let's hear it for the jazz man. Ron, let's hear it.
Thank you very much for your hospitality and work, Ron, to make this meeting a success.
First of all, I want to officially welcome all of you to Washington, D.C. and the WPFW. It just seems like only yesterday when you guys were here, these meetings come so fast and furious, you know? But it's always a pleasure to see you guys and work with you guys. And you know, thank you for your patience. Thank you for you know, coming out and for your level of commitment to trying to get things right. I also want to thank our local representatives, Rob Robinson, A.C. Byrd, Thomas Robinson, and Ambrose Lane, for putting in some very, very long hours on conference calls and things like that. To support the work of the network and of the station. And I know all of you are doing similar things, so I respect what you have to do. It's not easy. And, you know, just please continue to keep up the good work. As you know, WPFW is celebrating its 30th year this year. Yeah. We came into existence in February of 1977, very, very humble beginnings. I mean, literally had to borrow space and borrow equipment and get donated stuff to actually come on air. But where we were then and where we are now it's like night and day. But it's also about where we're going in the future. I have to commend those that put the station together in the first place. It was a lot of hard work, but they clearly knew that this station would be very, very important to the community at large, not just to black folks, not just to white folks, not to various constituencies, but to the entire, you know, Washington area population, which has grown substantially, you know, since 77, and the demographics in D.C. is changing as we speak, literally. Where do we go from here? How do we sustain our audiences? Because our audiences have been growing. Our revenue has been growing. Trying to find ways to sustain that growth in a competitive market is not easy, but we have to have open mind and open strategies on how to deal with these things. Doing things the old way is not necessarily going to be of use to us for the future. Many have mentioned about the aging demographic. Absolutely, that is a concern. But that aging demographic cannot be dismissed either, just to jump on a train to go for youth. That aging demographic is also responsible for making those, that's right, for that revenue stream. They're the ones that pay the bills. So, you know, we can't just marginalize them and say they're getting older and try to go after their bequeathed donations. So we really have to, you know, we have to stay focused on that constituency as well as develop, you know, a strategy to deal with our youth, to encourage our youth to be involved. And that's a long-range strategy, but a very, very necessary strategy. Yes, they may not donate to us now, but if we can get them into the mix and get them participating in what we do, and in the future, they will become greater income earners. And they will hold us, you know, in esteem and be supportive, the kind of listeners or the kind of supporting listeners that we have right now who are 55 years and older. So at some point, they will be there. So that's an investment that we must make. It's very, very important to the network. It's certainly very, very important to each station. So we can't overlook either one of those demographics. A major component of what we plan to do, you know, for the future, we have to look at owning our own space. It's critical to the network. It's critical to the station. I think there is there's no other way to strengthen the network than for the network to control its assets. Having an asset like WPFW in its own building would be a tremendous boon to the network. It'll say a whole lot about the Pacifica network in terms of the entire media landscape. And because we are in Washington, D.C., it would say a lot about our commitment to what we're doing here and what the network is trying to accomplish here. Our lease is up in about a year and a half. We have to consider what our options are, realistically consider what our options are. You know, do we extend the lease again? And do we try to, you know, purchase a facility somewhere within the confines of Washington, D.C.? That is certainly our preference. You know, both the local station board, management, staff, the volunteers, we want to own our own building. We would like Pacifica to own its own building. The benefit of doing this is overwhelming. Number one, Lonnie mentioned about infrastructure issues, you know, at all the stations. But developing a new station here in Washington, D.C., a state-of-the-art facility that can incorporate all the new technologies, that can utilize all the different media possibilities, whether it's print, whether it's video, online, and, of course, radio. These are areas that the network has to evolve in because we're not the only game in town anymore and haven't been for years. So any strategy toward the future has to incorporate those elements, those broadcast elements, those opportunities to reach our audience. Print supports what we do on air. Online supports what we do on air. Video, I mean, I would love to see us produce video documentaries. You know, we should have been in New Orleans filming. You know, we should have been in New York filming and videotaping the protests over Amadou Diallo and the others, chronicling the peace movement here in the United States. Now, these are revenue opportunities. But we have to be engaged in those things to take advantage of it. And, you know, we can't be so myopic as to think that we can continue to do things by radio anymore. With that in mind, by the way, this year we're planning a series of 30th anniversary events in our area to highlight the accomplishments of the station, to highlight our involvement with the Pacifica Network, and at the end of the year, we want to culminate this effort with a 30th anniversary gala in which we're going to invite all you guys to come back and party with us. All right? And the idea there is to create an opportunity to kickstart or to initiate a capital campaign for the station to start putting some seed money away for that purchase. So this is what we're trying to do here. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of work. I'm extremely pleased with the efforts of our local station board. They seem to be very, very dedicated into helping the station move forward. They're working congenially with me, my other staff, and I'm going to tell you, it's so refreshing. It's just extremely refreshing to everybody involved. And I want to thank Zarina and all our board members for their efforts at making this happen. Just to give you a few details about what we've done recently, as you know, for the past several years, I've been serving in a couple of capacities. I wear many hats. Well, one of those hats, I can give up now because we've hired our new program director, Mr. Bobby Hill. Bobby's been with the station for a very, very long time. As a volunteer, I mean, that's how I started, as a volunteer. But he's familiar with the network, he's familiar with the station, he's familiar with our mission, and he supports those things. And I have to applaud the mass committee of the local station board for providing me with a candidate like that. It made the selection process very easy for me. And, you know, and then once again, this is just another positive element of how the LSBs can be involved, you know, in the operations of the station and helping to run the station. I've also promoted our local news editor, a gentleman by the name of Askia Muhammad, to our new news director position. He will be working, in fact, the addition of Bobby and Askia Muhammad, they're going to comprise the core of a management team that I put in place. That management team consists of, pardon me, myself, our business manager, development director, program director, news director, and operations director. And that collective, you know, we're going to meet, you know, weekly to discuss things that are important to the station, you know, what we've got going on, some of the issues. It helps, diffuse the weight, as they say. You know, I look forward to those conversations that Bobby's going to have with the other program directors. I look forward to our operations director meeting with the other operations directors around the network to talk about our tech issues. I look forward to our development director being involved in what Ms. Bethune proposed. These people have great ideas, and I'm sure that the respective directors at the other stations have great ideas. It's time we take that talent, conceptualize it, and let these people work together so that we can have some consistency and that fist of power. Because right now we're acting individually, and we're spinning our wheels in a lot of respects. We also have two other positions that we've posted. One is a music and cultural affairs coordinator, because music and cultural affairs is important to what we do here at WPFW. It's important to what we do as a network. Culture, alternative cultures, don't get the kind of respect and doesn't get the kind of airtime, doesn't get the kind of media attention that it deserves. On commercial radio, all you're going to hear is, you know, the nasty stuff, the stuff that's, you know, that the corporations are trying to sell. So there are a lot of entertainers out there, a lot of artists out there who are trying to do good work but have no way to distribute that work, have no way to showcase that work. Well, see, that's where WPFW and other stations come in, you know, because we provide them with that opportunity to do that, to tell a much more meaningful story than commercial radio stations do. So we cannot overlook that. And as a major source of our revenue here in Washington, D.C., is something that we must pay particular attention to. The audience that you saw last night, did you see that demographic in there? Those were middle-aged, I'm going to have to say it, those were middle-aged white folks with money. All right? They support this station. So we can't, you know, we reach out to them in more ways than just that event last night. They support our political mission as well. So the two go hand in hand, and they must continue to go hand in hand. And I would encourage the network to keep that cultural part of that cultural component of what we do very, very alive and vibrant, and support that as much as we do the political platforms that we put out there. I'm going to talk just briefly about diversity, because I know that's an issue. Diversity, and I think Mr. Ramos touched on it the other day when he said you have to think of diversity not only in terms of numbers of staff and things like that. You also have to think of diversity in terms of, well, who's listening to your station? Last night was a great example. That was a demographic that listens to us. We have another completely different demographic that listens to us on Saturdays for our old school, for example. Another demographic that listens to our world music format. And then for our public affairs, you know, that's a mixture of all over the place. So there's not one, you know, there's not one area where only one set of people are going to be listening at any time. We have to have broad appeal. Our programming has to have broad appeal. And that's what makes us successful. That's what our listeners like. That's what our listeners support. As far as staffing goes, now our on-page staff, I would have to say is very diverse. Gay, black, white, Jew, Gentile, male, female, all across the board, seniors and youth. I mean, we've got programmers on that are, a music host, one of our music hosts, Andrea Bray, who would have been on today. You know, she's in her 70s. She does it every week. She has one of the most popular shows, on Saturday. We have our youth program, So we've got diversity in terms of our unpaid staff that we're very, very proud of. And, we don't label our folks, It doesn't matter whether that person is gay or whether that person is black or whether that person is white or whatever. That's not how we look at things. That's not how our listeners look at it. So diversity can be achieved in more ways than just looking at quotas, how many white people you have on your staff, how many black people you have on your staff, how many Asians or whatever you have on your staff. And as far as the paid staff goes, we only have about 14 paid staff people. And most of those people, all except the two, have been with the station for a very, very long time, 4 years or more. So with the new additions of the new positions, we are going to try to, open these opportunities up to as diverse a pool of candidates as we can. But we're going to select the best candidate. It might not be a white person. It might not be a black person. It might not be an Asian. It might not be a Latina. We want to pick the best person that's going to do the best job for this station. And I think that's what Pacifica stands for. If that person happens to be Latina, hooray. If it happens to be white, hooray. That's not our interest. We want to diversify our staff, but in a realistic way. And that's what we intend to do. We're going to involve the Committee of Inclusion of the LSB in terms of helping us, come up with a sustainable way of bringing in more volunteers from the disparate communities. This is another reason why hiring a volunteer coordinator is so important to us, because most of our programming is done by volunteers. So can that pool of people that participate be improved in terms of diversity? Absolutely. And that will be the task of that volunteer coordinator to make that happen in a sustained manner, not just a knee-jerk reaction, but in a sustained manner, because that's what you guys expect of us, and it's the right thing to do. Finances, the station is doing okay. We just finished our winter pledge drive. Our goal was $490,000. We're happy to report that we raised over $519,000. Now, that was particularly gratifying to us because our last spring drive and our fall drive did fall a little short, for the first time in some years. So we hope this is getting us back on the saddle, because we don't like falling short on our goals. My development director don't like that. So we're doing all we can, to make sure that this upcoming drive, which is scheduled for the first 2 weeks in June, is equally successful. So we can, once again, have that positive variance, by the way, of over $58,000in our coffers right now. And that's a plus to my business manager and to my development director for helping to make that happen. In the coming weeks, I will be talking with the management team to talk about some ideas on how we can keep that revenue stream strong. Creation of new WPFW logo items. I would also encourage the network to do that also, because people like to identify themselves with the station and the network. And we would love to be able to put Pacifica logo items on our website. It generates revenue for the station. It generates interest for the network and revenue for the network. Greater use of our website, examine the success of current programs that appeal to a specific niche. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. We have a program, it's a music program that comes on Thursday nights. The guy plays Frank Sinatra. Show is extremely successful. Now, I don't, you know, I'm not going to listen to Frank Sinatra. Many of you might not listen to Frank Sinatra, but there are some folks out there listening to some Frank Sinatra. And they love that host, and they love what he does. All right? on the other side, we have a Sunday morning program called The Spirit of Jazz. That program focuses on jazz artists performing spirituals, you know, spirit-oriented music. It's a very, very unique mix, and it was an experiment for us. But once again, another successful program. Voices with Vision with the DC Radio Co-op, Rienka Kuda. That program is successful because it appeals to a certain niche. So we're going to find out what's working, and with my program director, you know, we can accelerate that process because we do want to find out what's working, what's not working. We're going to take our program grid. We're going to approach it like a piece of canvas because we are in a great position right now to make changes, to improve what we do programmatically, to open those discussions about some national initiatives that have come across. So I'm looking forward to putting some color, some more color, on that canvas. And that will be done, like I say, you know, over the next several months. We also want to host events that target certain constituencies. This year we're going to be media sponsor for the Asian Heritage Festival. Now this is the first for us. But this is our attempt to reach out to the Asian community because that is an area that we must improve in terms of our listenership and its participation. We also would like to create a mechanism for business and organizational memberships. Lonnie touched briefly about this. But there are a lot of businesses out there, very conscientious businesses, that would love to support the station and support the network. But having a legal model by which they can do that without violating our bylaws, without violating our mission, you know, is key to that process. So I've already started some conversations with Lonnie about, you know, what we can do to encourage businesses to participate in what we do financially without expecting an advertisement, if you know what I mean. And once again, stand within our confines. So there are a lot of things that we can do creatively to ensure that revenue stream, to enhance our revenue stream, to create new revenue streams. I'm looking forward to working with my management team, my new program director, our local station board to do just that. Also, for any special broadcast that we're planning, we're going to include a fundraising component to that because some of this programming may appeal to non-traditional listeners, people who traditionally don't listen to the station or may not know about the station. So we have to view them as potential paying members. So that's another idea that we're going to utilize. Infrastructure improvements, our studios, we're going to continue to overhaul. Digital conversion, we've applied for the CPB grant. We're reasonably confident that we'll, you know, receive that grant or we'll receive approval for that grant. And what we're going to do is not only use that money for digital conversion, if that's what's best for the station, but we're also going to use it to help overhaul our studios with broadcast and production equipment as well. Remote broadcasts. We do a lot of remote broadcasts. We've been having a problem with ISDN lines because there's only one game in town. You know, whenever we want to do a remote live broadcast, we have to go to Verizon to ask for an ISDN line. Sometimes they're very cooperative, sometimes they're sloppy, and sometimes they're late. And it's difficult for us to even promote a broadcast until we are certain that we have an ISDN line hooked up. So we're going to create a way to, because I'm sure there are ways out there, we're going to develop a remote broadcast kit that's portable, that's much more flexible, that's not relying on ISDN lines, so that we can effectively plan, you know, our broadcast without having to depend on one company like Verizon.
I'll give that an applause. Man.
I'm going to end with one of our disappointments, and that's our website. For the past year, I've been telling you guys that, you know, we were in the stages of redeveloping our website. We had hired a contractor to help us in that process. Unfortunately, we are not satisfied with that work, not satisfied at all, and have decided that we're going to start over again. When we speak of that campus, this is the perfect example. Fortunately, we didn't lose a lot in dealing with this, and we're going to seek redress at, you know, trying to get what we did invest back. But we're not satisfied with that person's work. I look forward to engaging in a conversation with the Pacifica Tech people, our own tech people, get some ideas from our local station board in terms of their technology committee, because we want our website to be congenial with the other websites around the network. We want it to be effective. We want it to be hard-hitting. We want it to be in-house so that we can determine, you know, its comings and goings. That is where we are with our website. So that is the one disappointment that I must share with you guys, because I have been promising that this website, our new website, would have been up. We were hoping that it would be up by this PNB meeting. But we essentially have had to, you know, terminate our relationship with the individual trying to assist us in this. So we will be contacting your tech people at the various stations. We will be looking at the other stations to see how they've developed their websites, because, like I said, we want something that's really, really cutting edge and something that's really, really bold and something that does what we want it to do. And we're not going to be satisfied until we get that. And I'm sure you won't be satisfied until WPFW steps up in that manner. And that's my report.
Thank you, Ron, for... Thank you for a very clear and direct report. It was definitely a pleasure. Before we go on, I just want to tell people I've talked to the other managers, and I don't think it's realistic that we'll be able to have all of them tonight, but I looked in the schedule tomorrow, and we do have 45 minutes for other committee items, which I think is available. Mr. Adams has to leave tomorrow morning, so I wanted to suggest him at the end. But just so you know, we have this time now. So with that, I'd like to open up for questions, and we'll just go around. Chandra.
Hi, Ron. It's great to be in Washington. I'm sorry I still haven't gotten a tour of your station. So
it's
I
not
guess
too
we'll
late.
Have to be next time.
Right. No, we can come by tomorrow.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think you're doing some really exciting things, and I want to congratulate you, especially on your new hires and a wonderful program last night that you invited us all to. Couple of comments. I think it's really exciting that you're going to be a sponsor of the Asian Heritage Festival, and I hope you will use that opportunity to recruit new candidates for election, because that would be a great venue to do that.
It's a great idea.
When I was at the event last night, I picked up a couple of copies of a brochure for WPFW. I don't know if that's the only brochure that you have, but I was a little disappointed. I'd like to recommend that you think about, you know, maybe when you do work on your website, about ramping that up a little bit too, because I think that could be a little classier. I mean, you're a classy station, so I think you should have a really classy brochure. And then my last comment is one that you've heard. It's an old refrain. It will continue. I hope it doesn't continue for very much longer. But
what?
When is Free Speech Radio News going to be moved from midnight to prime time? And you talk about your listeners supporting the mission and your public affairs programming. I was talking to AC yesterday, who said the listeners stampeded the station when the Democracy Now! Program that was repeated at 6 p.m. was off the air for a couple of days, demanding to know what happened to it. If those listeners support Democracy Now!, I'm sure they would support Free Speech Radio News in prime time. So please, Ron, Bobby, please consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Appreciate it.
Bertolt.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'd like to thank you for your comment on diversity, as everybody knows where I stand here. But you've spoken enough about that, so I'll move on. Diversity to me means content more than, you know, actually colors. There are a few things that I'd like to talk about. The HD match grant.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned yesterday that you might not be able to put up the $75,000, and that's the second time you're applying for it and you're pretty sure you're going to get it. I don't think that's a good precedent. I think you probably should kind of talk to all of us here and press us to figure out a way to come up with some or part of that money or borrow whatever so that you can move on with that project.
I have no objection to that.
Yeah. The other thing is when we went to PFW, they twisted my when we went to KPFT, they twisted our arm so that we can pledge when they had a fund drive. Even though you don't have a fund drive, I think you should try to twist this board's arm so that everybody pledges. Because we say we're going to establish this at every station when the board goes to wherever they go, we're going, we step up and pledge, like, at least $25.
It's actually over. It's over here. The pledges are coming in.
Yeah, we have an agent circulating the room, and thank you. I appreciate that. And that's a great idea. I think we should extend that to all the stations every time we come to town.
It's not too late.
It's never too late.
Rip.
Thank you, Griff.
Ron, thanks a lot for last night's entertainment and wonderful dinner. And also, I want to say that I've really enjoyed waking up to the jazz in the morning. I do love jazz. I have a big collection myself, and I actually enjoyed that. What I want to mention is in the Puget Sound, there's a station, KPLU. It's the number one jazz station in the Northwest, and it's also won national awards for jazz. They also are the largest. They are the station that raises the most amount of money in the Puget Sound. Mm-hmm. It's the top NPR station. Okay, they do 8 hours a day of news. The rest of the time is all jazz. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to diversify your format to follow the model of stations that are very successful in doing that. What I wanted to ask about is the idea of a permanent space for the station. I notice you're paying about $140,000 in rent. I don't read these charts very well. But I was wondering what the plan would be for a real estate purchase and whether that amount of money would cover something. I just want a short answer on it, but what kind of plan do you really could anticipate on acquiring a permanent home?
The as part of that permanent plan, that you're right. What we pay now as a lease will certainly not stay that way should we purchase. So we have to think of ways to increase our revenue to pay for it. So, you know, that's important to us. I can't underestimate that or overstate its importance. If we were to try to purchase a building with our current revenue stream, we probably couldn't afford it. So it's very important that, you know, over the next year and a half, that we do try to dramatically increase what we can bring into the station financially so that we can sustain whatever those payments are going to be, so that we can sustain that in a healthy way, and that's just the short of it.
So you're scheming up some capital campaigns.
No, absolutely.
Okay, great.
That's what we're going to do with the 30th anniversary gala. Okay. That's going to be our kickoff for that capital campaign. We are very confident that our listeners and even those who haven't contributed before will be very, very supportive of us getting our own location. Why? Because it can serve them better, and because it gives them an opportunity to participate in something that's brand new.
Thank you.
Michael.
I have to weigh whether or not this is redundant. On the HD thing, I'm getting some ambiguity here, which is a heartache for me right now with this issues. Lonnie is talking about using it as a way of bringing in revenue, and that's fuzzy to me. And I don't think you're committed. I think it takes some willpower to do this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I mean, last night I kind of got the idea that you applied for the grant, but you weren't committed to going out and seeking independent funds for it. And where are we with that?
We are concerned about the matching aspect of this. Obviously,
will it happen?
You know, if I mean, we were accepted for the grant before, and the network at that time, this was about 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, the network at that time wasn't able to help us. We weren't in a position to come up with the additional monies to do this. Lonnie has expressed some options for us that we may, or that we can explore. Oh, yes, we would like to have that money. We would like to have the ability to go HD. It's crucial to the future of the station. The question is whether it's going to be financially prudent for us to do so or not. We believe that we can come up with the money. That's exactly why we went on and applied for it, because we are confident that we can generate the 75,000 matching funds that we're going to need to do this. But we're also pragmatic. You know, my business manager is, to be blunt, is not that enthused about it. But you know, anytime we have to spend money, you know, he's careful, and he's doing a marvelous job at being careful. That's what kept us in the black. So I respect his opinions on this, and I respect his desire to keep us financially sound. So we're going to do ultimately what's in the best interest of the station, technically and financially, and hopefully those two will meet at a point where we can take advantage of this grant. So ambiguity, yes, only because we're cautious. Do we want it? Yes. And if we can get it, we will take it.
Lydia, did I see your hand up earlier?
Yes. I just wanted to ask about the informativo. We ask you at every meeting. That's one. And then the other issue, in terms of the diversity and hiring, one of the things that we found was important to put in our advertising when we were looking for a program director was Spanish language bilingual preferred. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a Latino, because that's a secondary issue. But in terms of as you move into greater, whether it's Spanish language in addition to bilingual or interlingual or whatever, you still need to have someone on staff that is fluent in Spanish to understand also what is going on in the rest of the network in that regard. So when we talk about diversity, it's not, I know like on our local station board, we have many non-Latinos who are fluent in Spanish, including an Iraqi who's fluent in Spanish. I mean, you know, it just goes on. You just never know. But the point is that that's also kind of a cultural diversity and language diversity that I think needs to be incorporated into the issue when we speak about diversity.
Lydia, I like that idea. I hadn't considered that before, but in future postings, I don't see any reason why we couldn't take that approach. As far as the Spanish language news program, I'm confident that we can resolve this issue. In my conversations with Armando and with Greg Guma, and now that we have a new program director, you know, we can enter into some realistic talks about, you know, how we can, you know, make this a reality. It may not be, there will have to be some compromise, not to weaken the program or anything like that, but one of the things that we talked about in our meetings with the program directors the other day is that, you know, each station is different. And we have to find a way to make a program like that work for us as well as it's working for the other stations on the West Coast in particular. So I'm confident that we can resolve this in the short term. And it will certainly have my support. And I will certainly be instructing Bobby to engage in talks with Armando and the other program directors about how we can come up with a happy solution for this.
Who was next on the list? I'm going to get everybody who hasn't spoken first.
Right? Yeah, well, thank you. Actually, I thank you for our welcome. Very classy, too. And, I mean, I always enjoy talking to you. You have that down-to-earth real quality about you that I appreciate. I want to go back to a little bit to what Lydia was talking about, because to me it's important. It's what defines us. And if I had two sons and two daughters and I was committed to, you know, equal treatment, even if my daughters were younger, I would make sure they go to college like the boys did. And I would have to put my money where my mouth is. And not only is it a principal issue, as in this case, not only that show is an expression of that commitment, but if you have the communities that are represented in your society, in your world, these are the individuals at the station that will help you not only identify, will help define how you go about getting those other communities, because they have to be part of that process of reaching out. And I think that's why we want to hear it, and it's a never-ending process, really, because it's racism. Part of racism is just not seeing the, I mean, besides the fear and the misconceptions and the contempt sometimes. Part of it is laziness, and part of it is just not, you know, you're comfortable, you don't want to change things. And it's nobody has a gene that says that you like that because you fit a certain group. We all, in position of power, have the potential to quote unquote abuse it by just being negligent. And it's a factor to identify our level of success. Otherwise, it will always be a blemish on what we're achieving. And that's my two cents for tonight. So I'll be. And again, I think that the board should be willing to. For example, there's a committee of inclusion that's, right, I understand is not functioning about three sessions, and that's a shame because this community's work. I don't know what's happening in WPFW is to identify who's running for office and why not who has staff positions and what kind of programming are available to those communities that reflects their needs, that their interest. And that all of us can enjoy also, you know, that's exciting, but that defined to a great extent to me a vital part of what the station is about.
The one thing I wanted to add about the Spanish language newscast is that whatever we come up with, we would like to have WPFW involvement in this production, because we have Latino people here who have the skills, who have the wherewithal to be a valuable contributors to that program. So those are the kinds of things that we'll be talking with the other PDs about, and that should be a part of whatever comes out of those discussions. We want WPFW involvement in the production of the program.
Lisa.
Hi, Ron. Again, I echo a lot of what everybody else said in terms of your very warm, nice welcome. You've given people in New York something to think about.
I have a lot of fun in New York every time.
Oh, I'm sure. I just wanted to ask you about a couple of things real quickly. But you mentioned, first of all, we heard from Jay Nightwolf here.
Jay Winner, right.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times that, you know, the GMs, everybody's trying to do the best that they can. You only have a limited amount of time and things like that, but there are still, on several occasions that I've heard from people in this area, various groups, that they don't feel that they're being represented enough or enough diversity. And Jay, we heard from today, and this is probably something that could be said to be true probably on all the stations in terms of not enough representation. And he said that he had raised this issue before with PFW, but it still remains unresolved. So I just wanted to know if you were aware of that and what you're trying to do in that area. And then just real quickly, I hear some of your concerns pertaining to the Spanish language programming, but I just want to know if you even thought about just trying it on a trial run to just get feedback and see what other people think. And then one other thing, you mentioned about DC Radio Co-op, and I believe that there were issues with that at some point. If you could just manage to just answer everything that I said in one sentence, that would be that'd be great. But if you could talk about that.
You can have up to 12 commas.
In regards to Mr. Nightwolf, Jay Winner Nightwolf, he has a program on. It's a one-hour program. He wants 2 hours. I support the idea of that program having 2 hours. I've always told him that. However, there's a program in front of him. There's a program in back of him. And both of those programs serve other constituencies. The program ahead of him serves our youth. It's called 2K Nation, a very valuable constituency for us. The other program deals with the African constituency. I'm talking about the Africans from the continent. As I explained to him, any attempt to give him an additional hour would require some grid change. Do I take these people off just to give him another hour? If I take them off, where am I going to put them? So it's more of a grid issue than a desire issue, okay? And I've asked him to be patient. I think we can resolve it, you know, but it's not going to happen overnight. It may not happen, you know, at a pace that's acceptable to him. But there are other players involved, and I just ask him to respect the process. I do think that that program could easily go for 2 hours. I think it's a very valuable program. I think that, you know, it actually was my suggestion that it go to 2 hours because of the kinds of issues that it deals with and because of its uniqueness. But once again, that's about taking time from somebody and giving it to somebody else. And, you know, we're trying to be fair in that process. I'm just asking him to be patient. That's all. He's just losing a little patience. Regarding the co-op, those were some issues that we had with them maybe about 2 years ago, perhaps, a year maybe. They're still on air during the program called Voices with Vision. And, you know, they're still free to participate, you know, in the manner in which they choose. No exclusivity amongst any group. And that was the issue. But once again, they're welcome to participate, and they are participating. And that's why I acknowledge them in terms of their contributions to that program and other things that they contribute to. So for now, as far as I'm concerned, there's no issue there because they have the same kind of opportunities as everybody else. What was the third one there?
I was just asking if you tried like a trial run, even just to get, you know, feedback from other people in terms of what could be done better with it.
That's a complicated question because that program comes on once a night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Putting it on a trial basis, you know, putting it on where is an issue for us again, mm-hmm. okay? Once again, WPFW involvement, New York involvement with that program is also important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that I think we should strive for. Houston participation in that project I think is very important. And that was the original vision of that show from what I understood, that all of the stations would be involved in this production. So I just want to make sure that happens
mm-hmm.
Because it, you know, if we have people from each of the signal areas participating in this program, we feel that it will be much more appreciated locally, and it's not just about listening to it; it's also about supporting it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, we want to get back to the table, talk about how New York, D.C., Houston can be involved in that program consistently.
Ron, and I want to join everyone thanking everyone from PFW for the hospitality. Ron, I'm a little perplexed by the last thing you've been saying about the Spanish language program because the original motion, which I offered based on a lot of based on the work of the people at KPFK, said point blank in the text, it's a national program to be based at KPFK. But drawing on contributions from all the stations.
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
It's been repeatedly stated by this board, by staff and others who have been implementing this. The door is always open for all five stations. So I don't understand why you're now telling us, 9 months after the show aired and debuted, that you're still hoping for some WPFW contribution. That could have happened at any point up till now.
Well, it could have, but I really can't overstate the fact that we didn't have a program director, and it was just me. Now that I have a program director, we can focus on that. We can get that. We can get our involvement, you know, in that program. That's all I'm saying. You know, I want my program director to work with Armando and the producers of that show to get that WPFW participation. Like you said, that is included in that language. And to me, that's the resolution for me. So that's it. You know, I mean, you know, now that we have a program director who can dedicate some efforts toward this, you know, get the people involved, and we do have people that can be involved. We have our own Latina Media Collective, you know, who can contribute. So I anticipate that happening, and I anticipate that happening soon rather than later. So by this time, by this next PMV meeting, we will have some news on that front that we think will be positive to the board and to our listenership.
Yes, you did.
Mr. Ruff.
Mr. Pinchback, how you doing?
How you doing?
My man, Mr. Pinchback. Ron, I have a few points. Number one, with the website. Well, first of all, pardon me. Excuse me, everybody. Thank you very much for your presentation. And thank you for the written report as well. Number one, however, with the website, I'm troubled that, first of all, it's still inadequately developed. And I understand the reasons that you gave in the report and also the reasons that you gave in the report to the local station board. I don't find that acceptable, but at least you put out the reasons, so we have to deal with it. As we deal with the website, WPFW's website is one of the few that don't have links to the other stations. And I think that's something that WPFW and the other stations that don't have that need to make immediate improvements on. I think that's fundamental for us to coalesce better as a network. Also, I think to the degree that we've had problems in developing the website, I think that you and our board are responsible for it. We failed in that regard. And I think it's high time that right now we talk to Pete Caracas, the Pacifica Internet manager, about that right now while he's here. And we need to engage him to get some consultation. Oh, well, he's not here. Well, we need to get on the phone. I apologize, Pete, wherever you are. We need to get on the phone and start working out a constructive relationship where he advises us on how to deal with this and recognize you and I, we're amateurs. I don't think you know about building the website. I don't. And we need to stop pretending we know how to do something we don't do. So we're failing. We're responsible. I'm blaming you, and I'm taking the blame, too. Website. Number two, from the vault, I understand this is an excellent program. I've never heard it, and it's because WPFW doesn't carry it. That's inexcusable. And since I'm in D.C. on the WPFW board and always challenging you to do better, as you challenge me to do better, just for the record, I'm challenging you to do better on that. And I'm not going to accept that we didn't have a program director before. You were the program director and the station manager. Yes. So you were responsible, and we as the board were responsible for allowing, I think, mediocre programming or failure to have excellent programming. That's assuming that From the Vault is an excellent program. It needs to be on WPFW's program, and I'm certainly hope that you and Bobby figure out how that works and do that with the advice and of the board and cogitation of the board. Number three, Free Speech Radio News. We've talked about that before. I think Chandra hit on that beautifully. It's inexcusable for it to be on at midnight. Skip funding mechanism, what it tells me is that we on our board and you as the general manager and Bob West, good manager, we haven't worked out a business plan to make Free Speech Radio News a profitable endeavor for daytime news. At midnight, that's inexcusable. We're failing the community. We're supposed to educate as well as entertain. Number four, Informativo. I'm buying into everybody who asked questions on it. And as they kept asking questions, you vacillated. I heard a vacillation. Now, I might have heard wrong or misinterpreted. But I'm just, as a board member of the local station and the board member here, I'm saying what I heard. And I assume you're right. I misheard it. But it seemed to me that you identified reasons why it couldn't come on in the very near future. You were interested, but as it kept on being explored by further board members. You were expressing the strong interest in getting it. Now that we have a new program director, we're going to work it out. That seemed to be a vacillation. But notwithstanding that, it's not on today. It hasn't been on before. And I understand that that's an excellent program. That's inexcusable. You failed. We failed as a board. Number five, when we look at our interest in high-density radio, I'm certainly thankful that we put in a proposal to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm disappointed, though, that the local board didn't see that proposal before it went out. I think that's the way it ought to go. In other words, I'm saying what I think.
That's a standard proposal.
Well,
just
standard,
so you know,
standard proposal. We need to read it, though.
No, that's no problem.
I'm just saying
you
we
can
need
still
to
read it.
I want us to read it.
You can still read it.
I want us to read it. Have it emailed to all of us.
No,
we got your written report, but we did not get the report. And I think the appropriate way for a board to be involved on something like that, where the station is seeking $75,000 for an important capital venture like that, is the board ought to think about it, know about it, hear an oral report, read the written report, offer some advice, and congratulate you for putting it forward. And then on top of that, you and the board, along with Robert West, ought to develop a business plan so that when RIP asks how we're going to pay for it, we can answer clearly, this is how we're going to pay for it. Not, we might have to beg the national organization, and that didn't work the last time. And no, I'm blaming you, but I'm taking blame too. So I'm putting it like that. So I'm saying we failed in that regard, and I'm putting it on you because our board didn't read it. And certainly, you know, you can respond, and I'll hear you. We got that relationship. Everybody, we got that relationship. Ron and I work together. We criticize each other, and we keep working together. Number six, and lastly, number six, the same thing goes with the idea of buying a facility where we're going to have a new headquarters, not pay rent, but pay a mortgage. Good idea. We tried that before and we didn't have success. I like it that we're coming back at it. But I look at this thing and I see these wonderful ideals. That facility, as was discussed at the last time, it would certainly produce radio broadcasts. It would have internet productions, print media productions, video broadcast media. But there's no business plan on how we're going to do that, what all those different media experiences or experiments would be about. You know, what are we going to make movies and make money off of, or just make movies? Or I don't know what it's going to do. And then tying it back to the question that was asked by one of my fellow board members, how are we going to pay for it? Are all of these different media experiments or experiences going to help pay for it? You don't have the answer. We don't. And I think that's part of the business plan. So as a fellow board member here at WPFW, as a member of this board, I'm saying that to you. That's what we need to work on, and I think you would do better in working that out if you put that before the local board, bring Robert West to the board, bring Tiffany Jordan, the development director, our program director, and certainly your fine mind. All of you come to the board, and we figure out how is this going to pay for itself, how are we going to get the money to do it so that we're not using your eloquence and your charm to just charm over an obvious issue. We don't have the money to pay for it, and we need to figure out how it's going to make money in the future.
All right. This is not an attempt to charm anybody, but this is an attempt to inform. What you say is true about the project of purchasing a new building. Absolutely. The board has to be involved in that. They have to sign off on that. Now, this is the beginning. This is not the end of this process. And this is a process that's going to take months, you know, months to complete. And it is important for the board to be involved with that every step of the way. They have to be involved with that every step of the way. So, you know, there's no mystery there, whether it's financing, whether it's the technical aspects of it, whether it's the vision of it. The board will be involved in that from day one. All I'm saying here is that this is what we need to do. You know, we need to approach this in a way that says we're committed to doing this. I can't do it by myself, that's for certain. Our staff can't do it by themselves. Now, this has to be a very, very collective effort on the part of the management, the volunteers, and, of course, the local station board and the Pacifica National Board, because they're the ones that will own the property. So, once again, this is just a beginning. Regarding those other programs that we talked about, you know, I stand by those positions. I do want WPFW involved in the Spanish language program. And having someone now that can coordinate that effort is important to making it happen. And that's why I say that that can happen sooner rather than later. Free Speech Radio News and On the Vault, those are something that those are programming decisions that, we can discuss as part of the LSB programming committee. As I said earlier when you weren't here, you know, we're looking at this at our grid as a canvas at this point. We do have open spaces in there. Most of them are late at night. But right now, that's what we have available. How do we make that work for us? Once again, that is a canvas that we are going to collectively add some color to. So the board will be involved in that, too. These will not be unilateral decisions. You know, that's what we have board committees for. That's what we meet for. That's what the various committees are for. So, you know, because we have such a small staff, those committees are very important, and they will take part in this. So let me assure you and everybody else in this room that the local station board will be involved in future programming, will be involved in where and how we finance this new project, because you have to be involved in that. Okay. And I certainly have not lost sight of that.
We're going to have to make the question-response cycle a little faster. I keep being told that band has been waiting for over half an hour or more, and we still have to have Mr. Adams speak to us. But Evelyn, Rob, and Sandra have all indicated they want to say something. I don't know if Ambrose and AC also have something. But go ahead, Evelyn, and if we could keep the questions and answers
briefer. First of all, thank you very much. Last night was wonderful. The food was good and the music was great. And the fellowship was also good.
Good.
We probably need to fellowship a little more so we can be kinder and gentler. Having been chair of program council, I understand that it takes a long time to make program changes.
Yes.
Because if you move one, somebody else complains.
Exactly.
Your efforts are appreciated. And as we look through your report, we do see progress from the last time. And you also are in the black, which is a really good place to be. So thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate that.
Rob and then Sandra.
Thank you very much. Ron, thank you for your remarks. I just want to say I was a plaintiff in the suit that took place back in 2000. And as someone that's been on the local station board consistently since then, I'm sorry to say that our station is as close to communication from outside, certainly as a member, chair of the programming committee, as a member of the program committee of the local station board. Attempts from people on the outside to communicate with staff, to get responses back from staff, as far as I'm concerned, there has been no improvement since the lawsuit. And I have made many attempts to speak with you, to write to you, to talk about issues, with the exception of our operations director, Sidrak Franklin. The station remains, from the outside, a closed shop. Thank you.
Well, it's not, and I will have to contest your attempts to contact me about any issue.
Hey. Thank you very much for your hospitality. What I'm hearing here is, well, there's always room for improvement.
Indeed.
But I applaud your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. And I also want to thank you guys for contributing $1,100 today.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. So, thank you very much, Ron. Would you like to sum up and then Mr. Adams?
Before I go, I just want to acknowledge something, folks. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to the ceremonies honoring Karabia Rayford. longtime WPFW volunteer, someone dedicated to, you know, moving the station forward. And, you know, people like her are very, very important to the network, and we've lost quite a few lately at WPFW. You know, Damu Smith and Ray Whitfield and now Karabia Rayford. And I just want to publicly acknowledge WPFW's gratitude, you know, for her efforts at, you know, returning the station to where it was supposed to be, progressive. And I like I say, I just regret not being able to attend those ceremonies. I, unfortunately, because of my commitments this weekend, I missed two funerals. I missed the funeral of a dear friend of mine, former Baloo Knight, and someone I played football with, and someone that meant a lot to me, and to my classmates, and to me personally. I just want to acknowledge those people, and basically that's it. I just want to say thank you for your patience, thank you for your time, thank you for your questions, thank you for your spirit. It will help move the station forward and keep the network on point. Thank you.
Now, can I say something quickly about that?
Quickly.
Yesterday, some of us went. I knew her very well, and she was an amazing human being, not only because of her commitment to WPFW and Pacifica's mission, but she was a being of light and beauty. She was passionate about life, and you could see it in every moment and every inch of her body and artistic performance. So I've spoken to a partner yesterday, and I've asked him to provide me with some organization that they would have supported. And I intend, before the weekend is over, to introduce a motion to ask this board to make a donation on her behalf.
Thank you. And before Mr. Adams speak, I just want to apologize both to my colleague, Dr. Bethune, and to the board for my outburst a little earlier. I certainly know that I take liberties with time throughout the day, so it's just a matter of fatigue, and I apologize.